You're listening to Spokespeople.
So this is a story kind of sticking with the theme of tonight that, there's a time for everything. And so I think this is kind of an appropriate story for that. So it's kind of going back, looking at how I grew up, right? Kind of a risk-averse person, like extremely, only do the safe thing. Don't take any steps that might take you down the wrong alley or, associate with the wrong type of, crowd or these sort of things. And that's sort of how I was living my life for a long period of time. And let's say, so we'll jump forward a little bit. The middle part, not very interesting. So we'll land right in, I'm going to grad school, still in my safe, nice, easy route. And I'm taking engineering, and I'm in a long-term relationship for, been going for, 4 years, something like that. Things are going fine, not that great, nothing special, right? It's a really horrible thing to say, but it's just, it's okay, but it's just, it's not bad, it's not good, it's just okay. And so I'm going around the directed path of life that you're supposed to take. This is the way you go, right? And so as I'm dating this person, she's starting to spend more and more time in Serbia, and she's studying. You get this? She's studying Serbian nationals and their relationship to Red Sox fans and the parallels between. This is true. This is true, right? So she's getting. So it's a sociology. It's a sociology program, right? So yeah. Really, I really don't know much about either. So, but all I know is she wants to spend more and more time in Serbia, and not here. And so this is starting to become, this kind of a problem. And I'm like, maybe things aren't working out. Right, and so that relationship's to kind of show, well, that's how it goes, and so the breakup happens, and at that point, when you're suddenly out of a relationship that you felt kind of been trapped in for a while, suddenly you feel like Superman, and you can do anything. And that little switch in my head, that was the risk averse. You shouldn't do that. That's not the wise thing to do. That little switch broke. Right? So it turns out that I've had some long-term friends that, we were friends in elementary school, and our paths kind of diverged, right? They went more of the art, theater path, where I was going more of the engineering path, but we stayed good friends the whole time. So, one of my friends calls me up and says, oh, you're free now, Why don't you come to us to Burning Man, right? We have a camp. We go every year, right? This is the thing to do, right? When it's a, you're free, you've got to experiment with new things. This is your time to live, right? So off to Burning Man we go, right? I pack up my what was it, 8 gallons of water you have to take into the desert with you, because you have to bring all your supplies in, because you're basically driving out into the open Nevada desert, and you live there for a week in this amazing landscape that's just basically this flat white land. Have you seen The Matrix, where they're in this kind of white floor that goes on forever, right? This kind of this continuum. And so that's basically what Burning Man is. It's just basically this white continuum ground that goes on forever. And on that ground, they've built this huge city of something like 40,000 people, some odd thing. Lots of drugs and debauchery, but I wasn't ready for that step yet. Right. So anyway, the point of the Burning Man is that, it's kind of freeing my life into a different direction and have a blast there, go pretty wild and crazy within reason. Right. And then, I come back, and now, I'm kind of a new person now. I feel like I can do anything. And at this point in our lab, I'm in a lab doing some research, a new student comes in. you know, I hear that this new student's coming in, and this person's really good and really amazing, and we should all kowtow when they come in, right? So the new person comes in, and she gets a desk right next to me, right? So she's actually coming in from mechanical engineering, a different, slightly different field. So when we start taking classes together and stuff, she starts to have a lot of trouble with the work because she's actually switching from another field. So she asked me to help her study. So I go, okay, I can do this. I like talking. So so we get together, start to study, and we start talking. And I realize that I really like this person, that this is really, you know, for some reason we really hit it off and we really, really click, right? So, and I start to, you know, learn about what she's into. And she's into kayaking. Apparently she's the president of the kayak club. Oh, man, kayaking. Never thought about kayaking before. Yeah, that white water stuff. Little do I know, she doesn't do whitewater kayaking. There's two veins of kayaking. There's like ocean kayaking and whitewater kayaking. But, you know, I'm going to impress this girl, right? So, of course, secretly, I go off and I go start taking the whitewater kayaking courses, right? So I go to the training day. The first, like, kind of like to go on any of the trips, you have to go into the swimming pool with your kayak and show that you can swim and flip your kayak over and, you know, get out safely. So pretty standard stuff. So, you know, I haven't actually swam in maybe 10 years or so at that point. But, you know, I can do it. I'm Superman, right? So I go on in the pool. I swim the laps, you know. Pretty hard, actually, but I make it. And I get in that kayak. And actually, I'm okay at watching other people do things, and I can mimic pretty well. So I figure out how I can mimic people flipping the boats over. But can I actually roll the boat over? No, I can just watch someone do it and mimic them, right? There's a difference there. So anyway, they say, oh, well, you're actually pretty good. Really not, okay? So they say, oh, you know, we're going on a trip this weekend. It should be, you know, we're going to pretty low class 2 rapids. They're not that bad, you know, for your first trip. So I say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll come along. Yeah, why not? Superman, right? So I go, and you know, at the end of the week, we're all getting ready, and it happens to, it starts raining like crazy, right? And all these people say, oh, you know, maybe it's going to be a little harder. Do you still want to come? Like, I don't know. I've never actually done this before, but what's your guys' opinion? Yeah, sure, come along. Okay. So we go out again in the morning, get all geared up. You put on your wetsuit and your dry suit. And you get your kayak and you get fitted in and you put all the pads in the right places. And we go out to the river. And so there's a bit of this is the Shohomish River. It's a pretty big river. And you get out and there's some big rocks. And the water's really going. But, hey, I can do it. I can do anything. So little do I know, there's this huge waterfall. It's just around the corner that I didn't actually know about till later. Right? But so we go out in the water. We're going around. Things are going okay. I'm paddling just fine. And then we're like, okay, now it's time to go down the river. You know, I've survived this far. I see some other guy fall out in his kayak and he gets drenched. And I go, ha, 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 look at him. He's no good. Right? Of course, beginner confidence. Right? So we start going down the river. And you start going. And this is way out of my class. Right? There are standing waves, like 4 feet tall. Like, you're going along, and you know, there's a rock. What happens is a rock under the water, and the water will form this pool. Oh, I should tell you about the dangers of kayaking. All right. So this is the speech they give you before you go, right? Before you go on the water, they say, the number one thing is when you're in the water, keep your feet at the surface of the water. Why would you do that? Because if there's any tree limbs or branches, and your foot catches one, you'll be pushed to the bottom. Basically, your foot catches. You slam to the bottom of the river, and there's no possible way for you to get out. You drown, right? No one can go down and pull you out. You're stuck because the water pins your foot, right? And so they say, get out. Remember, keep your feet above the water. So I remember that. Okay, I can do that, right? So anyway, so we're going down. I see these rapids. Okay, I can do this. So we're going along, see the wave. And I lean the wrong way, and there's this big rock. in a standing wave. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember. Also these eddies that form in front of rocks, and if you fall in them, they can pull you into them and suck you down and pin you in front of the rock. Bad, bad, not good. So I think that, and I freak out because beginner experience, freak out, right? That's what you're supposed to do. So I'm going around the rock, I'm falling over, not going to fall over. So I reach out, and of course I try to push off the rock, right? Never grab anything when you're in a kayak going at high speed, right? So of course I grab for the rock, whoosh, and I'm underwater, right? Upside down, it's dark, right? I'm like, I'm upside down. Oh, I should tell you, there's snow all around the banks. This is in the middle of winter, right? Of course. Okay. I don't know if you've ever plunged your face into ice water before, but it's like your whole body, and you're like, this is not good. And then I come to the realization, maybe I'm not Superman. This is when it finally hits me, right? I'm upside down underwater. And what you have to do is you're tied into this kayak. You're tied in, right? You have this skirt, they call it. So it's sealed, so when you flip back up, you're fine. But, you know, I realize I try to flip a few times. I'm like, no, not really going to happen. So I grab the skirt and I pull it off. And, you know, I pop to the surface. I get to the surface and I put my feet up like I'm supposed to. And the guy says, okay. One of the people comes around, the actual real kayakers, right? Not me. So I grab on, he says, oh, grab onto the back of my kayak. I'll pull you to shore away from the impending doom, right? I say, okay. So I grab on, and he says, oh, can you grab your paddle with the other hand? And I'm kind of flopping. I can't quite grab the paddle. Maybe I'll just leave it. You know, we'll get it later. So we go to the shore. We go to the far side of the bank. We get up on the shore. I'm feeling good. Oh, man, I totally survived. Totally adrenaline rush. It's crazy, like adrenaline rush. Right, so I'm sitting there, and oh man, that was pretty good. You were doing pretty well, good for a while though. That was pretty good. And he pats me on the shoulder, and he kind of hesitates for a second, and he stares at me, and looks at my shoulder, and pats me on the shoulder again. And says, "Where's your shoulder?" What? I'm like, "What?" Never. Right, and so I reach over, and my arm is kind of sagging off the back, hanging down my back. All right. So what happened was I grabbed for the rock, and of course it just, you know, the rock is strong. The water is strong. You don't mess with nature, right? And if it just, I grabbed that rock and it just went wham right behind me, right? Flipped around, other side, right? Like Ace, or I don't remember what movie that was, but not good, not good. So the problem is we're on the wrong side of the river. And like, we got to get you to a hospital, right? So the thing is, I don't know if you know how like dislocated shoulders work, but the longer they're out, the muscles start to tighten up, and it's harder it is to reset it, right? And the guy says, you know what the problem is? I know how to do it, but we're actually there with there's some sort of surgeon that worked on nerves, and he says, oh yeah, but if you pinch a nerve, I know that basically you lose your arm, right? So I'm not going to set your arm, right? Because I'm a medical student, and that would be bad, right? I could screw it up, and let's not give that chance. Okay, so, okay, reasonable to me, But actually, the truth is, I feel no pain at this point. I still have the super adrenaline going. No pain at all, actually. So I get back into the kayak, drive back in. You know, I just grab onto the guy's kayak, and he kind of drags me across the water, across these huge rapids. But they've got skills, unlike me. So we get to the other side, and we end up, they go get the car, and we start driving back. And then as we're driving back, it's like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hour drive back, right? So during that time, suddenly I feel this like clamping on my shoulder, like this, looks like it's in a vise, and it's clamping harder and harder. I'm like, ooh, not cool, not cool. He's like, here, have some of these, I don't know, these ibuprofen. I got a few of those. See if those do anything. I'm like, right? I normally actually don't take any painkillers at all. This is like first time, but I'm pretty sure they did nothing, right? So we get back to the emergency room. He takes us straight to Harborview Medical Center, right? We go in. I've been to the hospital a few times. So we go in and we check in, and they just have me sit there. I'm like sitting there. It was like probably an hour just sitting there in the emergency room. And they're like, yeah, we're waiting for, if you're not bleeding out on the floor. just wait. So we're waiting forever, and maybe it's been like 2.5 hours. So pretty good chunk of time. So they finally get me in. They get me on the bed. You know, Dr. Joe comes over and says, "Oh, let's see what you got there. Okay, shouldn't be that trouble. Okay, I'll grab your arm and pull on it. Let's set it back. No, that's not moving. Let's get some X-rays on that." So they go and they do the X-rays and come back. They say, "Okay, yeah, I think we think nothing's broken, but that's a sure heck of a lot of destruction in there. So you know what? I know Dr. Phil. He knows how to get arms back in." So they come in and he's like, "Oh yeah, you got to put your arm up on this side. Let's yank, yank." Nope. Dr. Ted. I think he's got it. So this Dr. Number 3 comes down. Okay. I'll have you guys sit on that side. Let's wrap the sheet around his waist. You two grab, and we'll pull. And, you know, they got their foot up on there, and they're yanking on my arm. And I'm like, "Oh, gosh. Oh, not cool. Not cool, guys." Like, okay, this isn't working. So we're going to have to give you some drugs to reduce some muscle relaxants. So we'll wait for the anesthesiologist, I think, to come grab it. So, you know, I'm sitting there for a while, and then this woman comes over, and she has dragon tattoos all over her arms. She's amazing tattoos, actually. And she comes over and says, "I'm the lady with the drugs." That's how she introduces herself. I was like, "This is out of a movie." And I'm like, and she pulled this big needle. She's like, "This is morphine, right?" She has this big needle, and she says, "I'm going to give you morphine. You will like this." And I say, no, actually, I don't even use Tylenol. How about not?" And she says, "Well, doctor says," right? And I'm like, "Well, I guess so. Maybe not." And before I can give it another shot, she sticks it in the IV drip, and I watch her as the plunger's going in. You watch it, the plunger's going in, the lights just kind of fuzz, the whole room fuzzes out. My arm still hurts. I do not care. I do not care that this pain, it is an object. I can see it, right? And so after a while, they finally pop it in and you know, get it all back in and fixed and send me home. And I go home and then I get all fixed up. The next day I come in and this girl, she's sitting next to me at the desk the next day, and she said, "I got an email from the kayak club." "That was you." I said, "Yes. Yes, it was." But now we're married, so everything's good. So, and so that's the end of the story.